Well, you know, this resolution has been done since the work session. The city of Fort Lyons is the one who's requested us to, you know, we certainly need the testy to come out here as often as possible. Is that a different, is that fewer sailings than we normally get?
Oh, it's way fewer. Last year, I think we had 44.
I think, let's put this, I would suggest you.
I did get a call from Glenn. He is on the board. Yes, on Swampy, and he said this is one that he would like the city to put up in the form of a resolution on its agenda.
Okay, it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. It's just.
So when we adopt the agenda, we should include this.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be put under number 3 under hearing ordinances and resolution. So when we make the motion to adopt the agenda with the addition of the resolution. Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda with an addition of resolution 1302 under number 3 under hearings, ordinances, and resolutions.
I'll second.
We have a first and a second. Call for the question, please.
Alan?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Jack?
Yay.
Marita?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes. All right, consent agenda. Has everybody had time to look through the minutes of the meeting December 11th and January 8th? Need a motion to adopt consent agenda.
A motion to adopt the consent agenda. Also.
Question, please.
Alan?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes. Your reports, Finance Officer Jade, you're filling in for Krista.
Yes.
Please.
For raw fish tax for December, we received $1,305.30, which is down as usual. For sales tax for December, we received $44,723.29. And our combined bank balances is $3,262,436. The revenue and expenditure balance is in the box.
Questions for Jade at all?
If I may, as I mentioned at the work session, not reflected in this number is we have received a $92,000 reimbursement from the Department of Transportation, DOT. Back in 2010, DOT required the city of Sandpoint to put up a bond, if you will, or an insurance money in case the school loop road had cost overruns. That was our share of any cost overruns. There were no cost overruns in that project. And so two and a half years later, DOT is finally getting around to reimbursing us our money back. So that's another approximately $100,000 coming into the account. And that will be shown in next month's statement.
Okay, any comments? Thank you. Paul?
Thank you, Your Honor. My report is in the packet. I'll be brief, just quickly go through it. Of course, the major topic of discussion coming up over the next year will be the small boat harbor rehabilitation project. The funding has been secured. We haven't crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's, but as you know, we are out to secure $10 million worth of funding to do what we can do with $10 million. $3 million of that is coming from a municipal bond, which the city and the city council and the voters of the community have agreed to take on that debt. It's the first debt we've had since I've been the city administrator in Sandpoint. And we will talk more about that bond. It's an agenda item on the later on the agenda. We'll talk more specifically about that. The status of the project, the design has been completed and is out to bid. The bids, we had a pre-bid conference last week that I attended. It was well attended by numbers of contractors and interested others, both in person and on the phone. We expect to receive 3 or 4 or 5 solid bids on this project. Bids are due in my office in Anchorage on the 4th of I believe they're due on March the 1st, Friday, March the 1st. They'll be open at that time, and numbers will be mentioned. But there'll be no selection of a contractor until URS, our engineer of record, will go through all the bids, making sure that all the bid tabs are accurate. They will then make a recommendation to the city as to which contractor they feel best meets the bid specs. Price is certainly the main issue, but not the only issue. We will then hopefully pass, select that contractor and give them the green light. Then there's a lot of work that the contractor, the selected contractor, must provide before we can even get them under contract. They have to provide performance bids and insurance requests, and lots of other paperwork is required before they are put under contract. It is hoped we have a contractor signed, sealed, and delivered by April the 1st. They can then start the process of float design, float construction, mold plans, etc. And just while the fellows in the office, there's two guys came in from Anchorage yesterday. I'll let them introduce themselves. If you would, just maybe stand up and introduce yourselves and your firm.
My name is Dave Gilson. I work for Meridian Management, a construction management firm.
And Dave is?
Eric Freddy, also with Meridian Management in Anchorage.
And what Meridian is doing, as we talked about in the work session, the city, part of that money that we, for construction, will go to construction management. The city has to have, just as we had on the School Loop Road project, we have to have somebody providing oversight for the design of the small boat. In other words, I don't know whether a piling's been put in straight into the correct depth and if the floats were built to spec. And, you know, the design is one thing. How it's built, we have to make sure that the design is followed. Meridian is a firm that provides that service. I've made no promises to these guys. They will attest. They're out here on their own nickel looking at this community, looking at the project. They will, I would assume, be providing us with a bid to provide that construction management for the city. I know URS, USU, as you guys know, designed the project. They will also be submitting a bid to be the construction management, if you will. There's pros and cons to having URS as the construction manager. One of the pros is they designed it. They should know how it's built. One of the opposite view is, hey, they designed it. Maybe somebody else, a fresher set of eyes, can do a better job of seeing how the thing is going in the ground. Meridian, I'm not familiar with their firm that much, but we talked a little bit this afternoon. When they submit a bid, they're also going to submit documentation as to what their background is. And that'll be an issue. The city council will ultimately decide who is going to provide construction management for this project. Monies will come out of the construction, will come out of that $10 million. So the money we spend for construction management lessens the amount of money we have for floats and piling. But it's absolutely needed. You know, if we didn't have that, then we would just tell the contractor, there you go, do the best you can. There would be no oversight. And we don't want that. During the School Loop Road day, what was the fellow's name? Who was the
Brian Hall?
Brian, you guys knew Brian from R&M. Brian did our bidding on the School Loop Road. These guys, or a firm, will do the same for the project. And they're just out here, they're leaving tomorrow. And I don't know if you met Richard, our harbor master, sitting right there behind you, but they're going to come and see you tomorrow, Richard. And, again, no promises were made. They're just out here doing their thing. But anyway, it's exciting. The intention is to get the contractor on board April the 1st, have them get out here with their equipment and the floats midsummer, maybe late summer, August perhaps. The intention is to have the thing wrapped up and the project closed by January of 2014. So if everything falls into place, and it's not, this is not a huge project for these guys. I talked to a couple of them, and this is not, you know, they said it's easily doable, weather permitting, and floats are built on time. They can knock this out and get it done by that time frame. So that's what's going on with the small boat harbor. Legislative priorities attached to my report, as we talked about at the work session, the mayor and I are going down to Juneau on Monday, March the 4th, and Tuesday, March the 5th. It's a good thing we're not having a bid opening that same day. It would be a conflict. We're going to meet with our with Mark Hickey, who's our man on the ground in Juneau. We'll be meeting with Senator Lyman Hoffman's office. We'll be meeting with Representative Bob Herring, who is our new representative. We used to have Bryce Edgman, but because of the reapportionment, Edgman is no longer our representative. Bob Herring is. I don't know Mr. Herring as well, but we will be meeting with him. We'll also go meet with Bryce. We'll be meeting with the new commissioner of DOT. We'll be meeting with Mike Luxion from DOT, who's our money bags on the small boat harbor repair. We'll be meeting with the OMB director in the governor's office. But our two priorities that we're going to go down there and try to price some money out of Juneau is we're asking for $1.5 million to repair the Sandpoint dock. That it serves us well. It's still functioning, but it's getting a little long in the tooth and a few bent piling and missing, whatever. So we could use the money. Priority number two is we're asking for $750,000 to provide water and sewer improvements to the new boat harbor. We will sell that to the legislature because of the good news, and hopefully it comes to fruition that Silver Bay Seafoods, as we talked about, has signed the lease, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But we're going to go to Juneau and say we've got a new cannery coming, a new fish processor planning to come to Sandpoint in the next few years. And one of the deals we promised was water and sewer to the new site. We're going to try to price some money out of Juneau. I think at $750,000, Dave, or $1 million would do it, go a long ways to getting our water and sewer project in the new harbor. So that's our legislative priorities. As you know, sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not. We were very successful last session. We got $2.5 million from the legislature to repave the Sandpoint Road from the airport back into town. Now, we're not going to do that this year. We're going to put that off until summer of 2014, but that's where we get this kind of money. Water and sewer rates, that is a topic of discussion, or it's an ordinance that we're going to talk about later on in the agenda. Attached to my monthly report is just a letter. I wanted to let the city council know, as a ratepayer in Anchorage, how they notify ratepayers in Anchorage of rate increases. And the reason I put this letter in the packet, I just wanted the folks to know that what the rates are in Anchorage for water and sewer. And as my report says, if you combine water and sewer and garbage costs in Anchorage, I pay $107 a year for a month for water, sewer, refuse. If we increase our water, sewer, and refuse rates, as the ordinance later on in the agenda talks to, water and sewer rates and refuge rates would go up to $102 per month per customer. That's a big hit, but it's still less than what ratepayers pay in Anchorage. And as I said at the work session, it still does not cover the cost of our water and sewer rates. But I just wanted that as a comparison of what rates are, at least in the big city. Going on in my report, Silver Bay Seafood, since I wrote this in On Thursday, Rob Zuwanich has signed and sent us back the lease for the Silver Bay Seafood property. The next and final step is we will do an ordinance. It will be a two-part reading. The reason we have to do an ordinance is once the lease is approved, the final document, we must then do an ordinance because we are offering this property at a lesser than appraised value. We charge 10 cents a square foot for property down in the harbor, and for the first 5 years, we are saying there's no, the first 5 years is a freebie to them. Of course, there's other, the details in the lease. If they, after 2 years, if they haven't done any action, they have to start paying us the $50,000 a year lease payments. But because we're not just leasing this property as we do to everyone else, it requires an ordinance, and that will be coming up in the next two meetings. And then, lastly, I've attached yearly costs on the. It's good for the city council to know what kind of costs we incur outside the city. Legal fees, the city of Sandpoint spent $14,000 last year on legal fees. As you can see, the brunt of those was spent doing sales tax and the TDX sales tax issue. Over $9,000 of the 14 is strictly on sales tax. And the other expenditure worksheet that I provided was what do we pay in Anchorage for the Anchorage office that I occupy, and it came right to $8,000 for the year. I don't know if that averages out a month, but it's less than $1,000 a month for that. That pays for the office, phone, fax, a copy of postage, etc. And I didn't want to get too confused at the work session, but as you know, we own that building. We own 20% of that building. So the rents that we pay there, and the rents that King Cole pays, and the borough pays, and the city of Accutan pays, and the Aleutians East, or the Eastern Aleutian Tribes pays, all those monies come to the owners, which we are 20% get off. And after the bills are paid, we get a dividend back from owning that building. And we just received, I believe, a $20,000 check here 3 or 4 months ago. And I think over the last numbers of years since we've owned that building, the city has received, I think it's been five reimbursements of $20,000 each. I think we've received $100,000 back from our investment in that building, which is a pretty darn good investment. We only put $200,000 in it to begin with, so we've already been reimbursed half of what we spent on that building, and we still own 20% of it. So the Anchorage office building has been a good investment for the city. That's all I had.
Any comments for Paul or questions for Paul? Maybe I'll add a little bit to Paul just on the Silver Bay lease agreement too, also just for the record and for those who are listening, that property will be available. It's a city property until they actually do start building. It's just our property. It's used for the city until they do
storage.
Yes, for storage, whatever, until they do actually start building. And as far as the rent for the ownership of the property in Anchorage, all that money received from the rental agreement has been going into the maintenance program with the city, and any building that we have is the council and had decided this before. So if you look around or any changes you see will be because we're putting that money back in the maintenance. Chief.
Thank you, Your Honor. Like others, my report's included in the packet, so I'll reference you to that and somewhat keep it short. If I was the first, I guess, of personnel to let you know that we have the police division fully staffed for today. I think this is the same report I filed last month. Tomorrow, Officer Livingston goes back out on medical, but we'll be back in a few days. That'll bring us back to full staff until I leave on the 20th, and then I'll return the 27th, and Officer Wall will be acting chief in my absence. We do have a 911 position that's open. We had it filled, and it just didn't work out, so we'll go back to re-advertising like we discussed in the earlier work session, perhaps look at different ways to manage those dispatching positions that present unique difficulties and challenges in filling. The EMS has been busy this past month. They ran on 13 or 14 calls, which is pretty average from them. They seem to be going every other night, and it seems like a few more times on the weekend. We haven't had any serious cases of injury or accident in this past month, so I understand the way they run, which is every case is serious, and I appreciate that very much from them. The police department's seen a little bit of activity decrease, which is very nice for us to catch our breath last month. We were quite overwhelmed, and we're still digging out from those cases. There's a lot of pretty significant felony cases that are hanging in the air, waiting prosecution, and caught up in legal juggling between defense attorneys and state prosecutors, and hopefully we can come back in the future and report some of those successes and the cases that we've made. Blow our horn a little bit, but to let you also know what's happening there. The fire department continues to be busy. They are actively training, which is nice. They're also actively putting in daytime hours. We've completed an inventory, complete inventory of all fire department equipment now, and are looking at developing lists of needs, and then second to that, where we can fill those needs first through grants or other sources, and perhaps even in-house with what tools we have to accomplish some things that need to be accomplished with the fire department. Beyond that, emergency management, we're planning another meeting coming up for our local emergency planning committee. That's a group that's going to have to get fairly active if we're going to update our plan, which is relatively old. I think we're we're about 7 years away from the last time that it was really thoroughly looked at and reviewed, and it deserves due consideration and update. And with that, we do get some monies from the state emergency management office, and we've made good on our reporting and are in good standing with them for grants, which hopefully leave us in a position to qualify for additional help in the future as we develop that new plan or refine the plan that exists. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Any questions or comments for the chief?
Thank you, Chief.
Dave Stokes, Public Works Director.
Good evening. Yeah, it was kind of a busy month on our streets and shop. We did a ditch for Jim Brown, put some power in back into his house. Worked on a culvert at Dick Jacobson's old house. We had to put a new 10-foot section in that. Dug two graves last month, which is really sad. We've been working on the roads, patched some holes. Went through 3,000 pounds of patch material this last month. We put up two new stop signs in the guy. Started working on the crash building doors down at the airport. We got one of them done right now. We've been working on our trash truck. It was bought in 2003, and it's starting to show some signs of wear. We got holes and stuff in the bottom of the box, so we're having to put some patches on it at this point in time. We had sand some roads this last month, and we have an old gray 1995 F-250. It used to be my truck when I was here years previous, and needed a steering column. We found a place in New York that rebuilt steering columns, so we bought a steering column. Now it's back up and running. Right now we're using it as a water sewer truck because it's got a flatbed, and we've been doing lift stations. We just finished today, pretty much finished. Got a couple hours left of about a $50,000 upgrade for Trident's lift station. It's up and running at this point. The guy lift station went down last month. Just for some reason, both pumps kicked off at the same time, and one of the pumps was burnt up, so we ordered a new pump for that. We have been turning water off to homes that have been delinquent bills. I think we still have two houses off. As far as our water, we're at approximately 130 gallons a minute right now, which is really good. We've saved 750,000 gallons this last month compared to last year, which last year we all know was a little bit colder, but it's a sign of good. As far as the landfill, the incinerator's broke right now. I just got the parts in today, so we'll be working on the blower system on that, and that should be up and running here in a few days. Last week we lost the rear end on our trash truck, and we got it in, finished it yesterday. It was kind of a scramble because it's an oddball rear end. In an international, but that truck is an all three international. We had to patch the bottom of the trash truck. We don't have a backup for a trash truck if it breaks down, so it's a really hassle. It's a scramble at this point in time. It only takes, like, in most areas, 2 days, and our dumpsters are full. And basically, the only way that we can deal with full dumpsters without a trash truck is using a loader and a dump truck and a lot of manual labor. We serviced the truck while it was in. As far as the recycle center, it hums perfect. I mean, we have no problems with that place. Walter's real busy. So the excess crushed glass at this point in time, we're trying to mix it in with the fines that we got that we used to try to cure slippery roads on an occasion. But otherwise, no, Public Works doing good.
Dave, do you have any questions? Any questions for Dave?
I have a couple comments, Dave. I got an email concerning the dumpsters. We talked about that being full, overflowing, and wasn't aware that the truck was out of order, but I believe those people weren't not aware of that either. So I don't know if you put that on the radio community calendar.
Well, normally, Martin, if the freight would have came in the way it was supposed to and stuff, we would only have been down 2 days and it wouldn't have mattered. but due to it falling so close on a weekend, we lost an extra day. Otherwise, it would have been no problem. Okay. I mean, I've got good connections in Anchorage. They actually built me a rear end in one day. Besides, we had to wait for the ring and pinion to come from the lower 48. Yeah. But then it got screwed up with Ace Airways, and we didn't get our axle that we needed on time. And that held us up a day. Otherwise, for the most part, we can get parts, you know, quick.
Okay, well, it was just the... There was a question they had as far as, you know, concerning the regular schedule pickup, and they also, their comments were, you know, around the dumpsters were starting to look a little ratty, so we talked about that earlier, and maybe you can pass it on to you guys that, you know, please be...
We need to get a notice on the radio also tell people not to dump their big materials, all their white iron, their washers and dryers and dishwashers and ranges and couches and stuff like that. They shouldn't be dumped at the dumpster. They should be taken to a landfill. Okay. It's putting a burden on my landfill, guys. I mean, we're there to pick up dumpsters normally, not to have to pick up everybody's washers and dryers and couches and chairs. And so I don't know how to approach that. Maybe I can get direction from the city council how we should do that.
Council have a comment?
Probably put a notice in the next bulletin and put it on the radio, make posters around town.
Right, and I think probably it could be put in our water and sewer too. You know, if you have no water and sewer, I think that might be. We talked about putting a sign out. Just so you know, Dave is here from KSDP, and as you see the mic up there, I just want you to know that.
Yeah, consider it done.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah.
This is broadcasted live on KSDP, so I just want...
Yeah, because we can't put anything of that size and nature in our garbage truck. We actually have to get a flatbed or a dump truck and a loader to run around and throw all the stuff in the truck, which my guys pretty much got a set schedule of what they're doing. As long as the weather is cooperating with us and we can have landfill open, okay. You know, but on days it's real crappy outside, we can run around with a loader and a dump truck, because it kind of cuts one guy loose from having to be at the landfill, because that landfill, when it's open, it's supposed to be supported by one man.
Right, and I see the folks that have been taking their stuff up to the gate up there. I've seen that pile, but they've picked that up. Your crew has picked that up and taken that down.
Oh, yeah. Well, for the most part, the community is really good. I mean, it's just in a select area, for the most part, we get the white iron. I mean, it's...
Okay.
I don't know if people don't have a truck or have no access to a truck.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments for Dave?
Oh, just... I brought this up before... talking about the dump, you know, I've gone up there a few times. I see other people. I've seen Trident go up there too, and on a day it's supposed to be open, and it's not open. So we get all the way up there, and it's closed. You know.
Yeah. Well, we have a phone. I mean.
Yeah.
It, basically, if you're reading ordinances, it is by appointment only. You need to call that phone, and they'll make the arrangements to be there when you're going to go dump it. The only time we're closed when the winds are above 20 degrees, and as far as DEC permitting is, we're not allowed to have landfill open when it's blowing over 20 miles an hour.
In Alaska?
Our landfill.
In Alaska, 20 miles an hour, and you can't be open. But that's why I say, my agreement, I think this town is dirtier than it used to be before we had other, because you go up there, and I see in the back trails people dump stuff. I don't know, it's just, I don't know, there should be something done.
Yeah, I think, you know.
20 miles an hour, you can't. Yeah. Or maybe they should put a sign down below, people, you know, use a half a tank of gas to get to the thing, and...
If you read the sign, though, it says by appointment only.
Well, there are some issues we have concerning the landfill up there, but I think we're headed in the right direction. We'll just, you know, continue working the schedule we have and keep improving and implementing programs that'll help it.
DEC thinks our landfill's gorgeous, so... Yeah. I mean,
but it's a schedule thing, and we'll have some more comments and public comments, and we can discuss that. You know.
Yeah.
Any other comments from the council for Dave? Chuck.
Maybe we should just put a sign up at the gate up there. It'll get shot up over time, but a piece of plywood's cheap. We'll put a sign up to call. Put the number on it, maybe.
Yeah.
At the gate, you know. I mean, because like you said, I mean, it's costing extra man hours. It's a cost.
But no, I mean, we have no problem when someone calls. We'll say, hey, be there in 30 minutes, because they're making a round at that point in time anyway. But we just can't leave the landfill open for every Joe Blow, because you'd be surprised what ends up in the landfill. 55-gallon drums full of oils, I mean, contaminated materials. And in our permit says it has to be manned when it's open.
Paul? Two comments. And one, we could always gate that road down at Loop. Now, that's not going to go over to the community, I realize, but you could always put a gate up there, and because that's the road is to the landfill, but it's also a road people like to drive, so I don't think that's a good option. Another thing we could do is just put a simple sign, like you said, they'll get shot up. All we have to do is say landfill is open, and when the guys drive to open it, they flip it open, and when he locks the gate, he comes and puts a bag over it,
flips the sign,
and the landfill's closed. At least people get to the school loop, and they say, oh, the landfill's closed. Or, oh, somebody's up there. I'm going to go up and save, you know,
my crew have discussed about making a sign that does have the phone number on it with a flippable sign on it.
Just something to notify folks, rather than getting all the way up there, because that's when you are going to get a bunch of stuff, because people are just going to dump it off.
Well, they do anyway.
Right. And it's not just standpoint. But like I say, most people are reasonable.
They usually kick their stuff off at the gate.
And I know in the last meetings we did have a conversation about a staging area. We talked about a building where you can dump the stuff, because it, depending on what's in the vehicles, that's pertains to how much wind is blowing up there, like in papers and...
Right, no, wood pallets and stuff, we don't open up for anybody anytime, because we need that stuff.
So I think until we can actually build a staging area up there to have a building where you can come in, dump your stuff and sort through it, and that's probably the way we'll have to operate until we can, you know, move in that direction. Any other comments for Dave? Mooney.
Thank you. Good evening. Very short report for the harbor. We're doing fine down there. I've been building those blocks. Just busy work, taking care of the equipment. And to date, we've hauled 74 vessels. That's from July 1st. That's when I start keeping track every year of the boats we've hauled. We've got 65 in storage. And as you all know, in January, the new float at the new harbor was damaged quite considerably. Touched on that at the workshop. And we are in the process of changing out the power pack, or the engine on the small travel that the old one is off and set aside. The new one is in place, but it's not up and running yet. That's going to be a couple more days. And the Rainmaker, the fire rescue vessel, has been moved to a more favorable position facing the northwest. It's over on seafloor. Moved that thing all over the place. I'm getting really good at it. Never drove it, though. And that about concludes my report, barring any questions.
Any questions for the Harbor Master? Well, we got to get somebody down there and get you on there, Mooney, so you can be running that thing around.
The fireman.
Yeah.
It's doing fine.
Mr. Mayor, I might, one thing I'd like to, when Dave was talking about the landfill, one of the issues that came up during the discussion of construction of the boat harbor is where can the contractors put the floats that, you know, they've got to dismantle the old boat harbor, and there's going to be a lot of floats, piling, what have you. And are they going to be charged for that? I said that's negotiable. That's something we should consider. It comes right out of our pocket. So if we provide free a place to, you know, so hopefully some of those floats will be floated by some other elsewhere. I know some of the King Cove floats have a second life in other places, and hopefully some of our floats will find the same. But I think we should discuss there's going to be stuff disposed of in our community. They're not going to haul that stuff out of here. It'd be a zillion dollars. So those old floats are going to be demolished and dumped somewhere. Where do we want that? Do we want that in the old quarry, Dave? And I don't expect an answer tonight, but it's something we need to consider. Where do we want the contractor to put it? And are we going to allow them to put it within reason? I mean, I would come up with an agreement. You can, if we don't charge them, then here are the rules. You know, it has to be clean and what have you. But there's that was an issue. Where is all, because it's going to be a pile of stuff that comes out of that old boat harbor, all those slopes, for one thing. So where are we going to put that?
And I think we did talk a couple meetings ago on just those who may be interested in some of the old floats, and I think there is a couple of people in the region that did express interest, and I haven't.
Well, I think once we get a contractor, we will make it a public notice saying if first come, first serve, if you want, and the contractor's not going to, I mean, I'm sure they want to get rid of that stuff as quickly and as cheaply as possible, but if somebody wants a section of float and they talk to the contractor and work it out, as long as it's not costing the city money for that, I'd rather see that stuff recycled, reused somewhere else, you know, at a fish camp or somewhere else, than demolished and landed.
And we may be
able to suggested a boardwalk.
Yeah. Pardon?
Use it as a boardwalk.
Boardwalk.
Well, there's options. See, we'll just have to kick those ideas around. When that time comes and we actually get serious about it, we'll have to start planning a plan for that and maybe at least having a staging area that we can put this stuff in instead of taking it to landfill. So maybe council, in the meantime, we can come up with some direction, you know, when that time.
Just something to think about, because mm-hmm. the contractor's not going to want, they're going to say, right. We're taking them out, what do we do with them? If you're going to charge us to dump them in your landfill, then what's the charge? Are you going to not charge us to put them, you know, what shape do you want them in? Because if they're going to demolish them, I'm sure they're going to take them out as quickly as they possibly can, and they may not be usable after they get, I don't know. But just something to think about. Here in the next couple of months. Thank you.
Okay, any other comments for Dave? Hearing?
Yeah. Or Rich?
Mooney and me, pardon.
Fine, thank you.
Building maintenance, that was on an item on the agenda. As you'll notice around here, Robert and Zach have been improving our chambers and working on the outside of the buildings and inside the buildings, and this whole process, but it's coming together, and hopefully they'll keep moving in the right direction. We have another interested person in putting out a bid for some of the projects we have in town. He contacted me by email today and has placed a bid with the city for working on some of the other buildings that we have, so we'll address those issues when they come. I didn't hear anything on Dennis's new hire. We did bring aboard a new water and sewer training for Dennis. He'll be in his 90-day probationary period.
That'll be him next month.
Pardon?
That'll be him next month.
Yes, okay. And then we did bring Travis Gilbert aboard at full time. He's been part-time, so we brought him aboard for permanent status. He's been part-time for over a year, and Eugene Alford has been moved to the Harbor Department working with Mooney, and Mooney said he's happy with him. He's doing a good job down there, so very, very good. And we have the city administrator, and I worked out a contract. The chief and I also, that will be further on the agenda. That's all I have to report. And Thomas? Hearing none.
Sure. Since Robert has a helper or whatever, mm-hmm. you know how on the clinic there's that mm-hmm. piece that's off the clinic that I'm sure a lot of water gets in? Would they be able to kind of put that top there?
Yes.
Yes. Down for who knows how long?
A long period of time. I think they put it up there one time. If you look at the new glue, they use some wood glue on there, blue back off again. So if I think it's a hardy board that they're using there. That'll get back to Robert. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll go to ordinances and resolutions. First ordinance is 2013-01 solid waste. Paul, can we do these two motions?
I think we can. We can discuss yeah. it together.
Yeah. You want, I think maybe we can just get a motion to get it on yeah. the floor so we can move it on for the second reading. A motion for a resolution. 213-01 solid waste rate increase and ordinance 2013-02 for water and sewer. To get it on the floor. First reading. A motion.
Wasn't that once?
Yes, I think we can do both of them.
We can, because we're just putting,
This is just the first. This is just the first reading.
I'll make a motion to put ordinance number 2013-01 and ordinance number 2013-02 on the floor for first reading.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Alan?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Briette?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Motion passes. Paul, did you?
Let me just speak to both ordinances very quickly. As we talked about and learned during our, it's been in our audits for a long time, our water and sewer rates do not cover the cost of doing business. And let me be specific. Our water and sewer is a standalone fund. The rates we receive, the money we receive for water and sewer rates go right back into the water and sewer program. They don't pay for anything else except salaries, power, benefits, chemicals for the water plant, what have you. We have subsidized the water and sewer rates have been subsidized for numbers of years, and every year our audit comes back and says we should do something different. What is being proposed here is to significantly raise water and sewer rates, and the first reading is simply that. These ordinances will be posted for the next 30 days. On the March meeting is when the serious discussion will take place, whether the water rates need to be raised, are the rates being asked to go to, are they too high, are they too low, should they be amended, etc. And then the council will vote on passing the new rates or not. That's up to the city council. Some of the things we've talked about is water and sewer rates. This still will not cover the cost of our water. You know, our water plant is very expensive. We now have two guys working in the water system. I mentioned earlier in my report, the city of Anchorage sends ratepayers a letter saying your water and sewer rates going to $83 a month. The difference in what they do in Anchorage and what we do in Sandpoint is that $83 I pay in Anchorage for water and sewer not only pays for labor and chemicals and the water, but it also pays for all the trucks and all the maintenance and the power and the pipes in the ground and you name it. So when something busts in Anchorage, they have a fund to fix it. In Sandpoint, we are not that fortunate. The money we garner from water and sewer rates goes right back into paying our everyday overhead. We don't have any money in the bank. A good example is if our refuse truck breaks down. If we had to buy a new $100,000 garbage truck. Now, the one we currently have, we got through a grant, and that's how we would try to get the next one. But as you guys and gals know, those days are getting harder and harder to come by. Grants are harder to come by. Federal government's tightening their belt. The state's tightening their belt. We should have monies in the bank to pay for those sorts of things. We don't, and I'm not assuming we should. We just need to pay for the day-to-day rates, and that's what these water and sewer rates are hopefully going to do. We've talked about other things we can do to officially subsidize the water and sewer rates. One of the things we can do is simply in July at our next budget meeting, we make the decision, the willful decision, that we are going to transfer X number of dollars, pick a number, $100,000 out of our general fund, basically out of our bank account, and we're going to subsidize our water and sewer rates. That's one option. That way, when we are audited, we won't have a negative number, hopefully. We have enough money in the system to pay for the system. Another option we've talked about, and I think we should seriously consider, and the citizens should think about it, is raising our sales tax rate. Now, I'm not proposing that tonight. I think it's something that should be discussed over the next numbers of months. That would happen in October during an election, because it has to be an election of the people to raise sales tax. The city of King Cove is currently at 4%, and we are at 3%. If we raised our sales tax 1%, it would bring in approximately, and this is a very approximate number because every year it's different, it would bring in approximately $250,000. That's about 1% sales tax would bring in. The good thing about a sales tax versus these continuous rate increases is a sales tax, you pass that cost on to not only the people in Sandpoint, but everybody who comes to Sandpoint. when I go down to New Haven and have a cheeseburger, when a anybody comes into town and they pay a sales tax, they help pay for that rate increase. That's another way of doing it. But one of the things I think we absolutely need to do is adjust our water and sewer rates up. I keep making the case we are lower than Anchorage, and rarely do you find a rural community that has lower water rates than a big city like that. And I know it's a big hit. I know the economy's tough. Jack makes a very valid point all the time, but it's just something we have to look at doing. And I'll leave it at that. It's been up for first reading. It will be posted on the bulletin board. I would encourage the folks to contact their elected officials with their reaction, pro and con, and what they think. And like I said, the March meeting will be when the ordinance is brought back up for second reading. Public comment is when the public will get their chance to weigh in on why is it so high or why is it higher, whatever they want to say. And then the council will make whatever adjustments they want to make to the ordinances, and then they're either passed or they fail. So that's where we stand on water and sewer rates.
Thank you, Paul.
Okay.
So this is on for the first reading. Second reading will be at the next meeting, and we'll have public comment on it. Resolution 1302. As we were notified by Mooney that the Festamina is scheduled in for April and May,
June 1st, I think it's just heading back toward Kodiak.
Right, and I think so. So if you look at the resolution, we were contacted by Glenn, which is involved with the Southwest Municipal Conference, and we just got this resolution from Fort Lyons, and I think it's a resolution that the city should pass in support of getting service here without having a hole in our service.
What this resolution, if you read now, therefore be resolved, what this resolution is basically asking the state of Alaska to do is to build a new ferry. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with whether the testing is up and running. Then you read the now, therefore be resolved, the City Council of Sandpoint hereby requests the Board of the Southwest Municipal Conference, SWMC, prepare and move forward a resolution which strongly requests that the state of Alaska makes replacing the Alaska Marine Highway vessel MV Tuscanina a transportation priority for the state of Alaska, and that funding be allocated towards this replacement in the FY14 budget cycle. Basically, what this resolution is saying is Tusky's old and it needs to be replaced. I don't think anybody has a disagreement with that.
So, any comments? You need a motion to.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
I'll make a motion to support Resolution 1302 under Testamina. Is that the right number?
I'll second.
Any? Alan?
Yes.
Briette?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Thank you. Old business. $3 million bond for Harbor.
We've talked about this on numbers of meetings, and as I said earlier, that the funding package to rebuild the small boat harbor is $10 million. Half of that, $5 million, is coming from the state of Alaska. The other $5 million is coming from two sources. The borough, the Lucent East borough, has offered $2 million of their bond money, and that's going to require a few sleights of hand because their bonds have certain restrictions, and but we'll make it work. They've offered up $2 million towards the project, and the City of Sandpoint is coming up with the additional $3 million of a bond to make the $10 million package available for construction. This is the first bond that the city has been involved with that I'm aware of. This is the first debt, if you will, that the city standpoint has occurred. We've never had debt or something that we've had recurring payments on. In your packet, I gave you the latest numbers from the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank. The bond sale that we are part of was around sold at $112 million worth of bonds. The city and borough of Juneau is getting $31 million of that, and other communities Our total bond request is $3,029,000. And the question is, why is it higher than the $3 million we have asked for? It's because the $29,000 is the cost of doing business. The bond bank charges a fee. The attorneys charge a fee. Everybody charges a fee to the tune of $29,000. So we have to pay the $29,000. That's the bad news. The good news is the $29,000 rolls into our bond payments. So we pay that $29,000 over time. But this is more of a hard number of what the bond payments will be. The latest, and every month, we are borrowing this money, or bonding this money on a 25-year note. In other words, we will be making payments on the small boat harbor improvements for the next 25 years. And the average bond payment yearly will be $185,000 a year. It's a pretty good chunk of money. I think it's doable. I'm sure it's doable. And it's one of these things, we don't really have an option. Our boat harbor is our economic part of this community, and it has to be brought up to snuff. I mean, it has to be improved. So it's a no-brainer as far as I think most of the council. It was put up to a vote of the citizens of Sandpoint. It was overwhelmingly approved to go after this bond money. So we're nearing the, I'm confident that we have the $10 million available. And once we get a contractor on board, we start doing the harbor project. So unless there's questions, this is more of an informational thing for the council.
Anybody have any comments on the council or Paul? Anybody have any comments in the public? Just for his overwhelming vote of approval was 87%, just so you know, on the election, but 87% of the voters approved it. Okay, we have an employee contract. I talked about that in my report. The city administrator's contract is up. We have worked out an agreement that I feel works for the city, and he's accepted, so that in mind is we do need a vote of approval from the council to extend his contract with the changes in his salary for ending January 31st, 2014.
I'll make a motion to accept this contract for the administrator for another 15 months as says in the contract.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Marita.
Jack?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Riet?
No.
The record shows 6 yes. 5 yes. 1 no.
No discussion?
Sure. Any comments? Would you like to make any comments?
Yeah, just because since I've standed out on it, it wasn't because I don't think Paul deserves it, is because of the fact that we're talking about raising taxes and the money situation, and since with the big change of increasing the pay, I just personally didn't feel that it was I would have gone at a lower rate rather than as what it was. I thought about it, and I said I would say yes, but then when I really did some, I feel conviction about that, and I just wanted it on public record that when we're raising taxes and we're talking about $3 million bonds, I don't think it's a good time to add salary increases for at that. So I just wanted that put on the record.
Thank you. The council have any other comments? Hearing none?
No.
We'll move forward to the chief's contract.
This also is a council confirmation motion that we are to extend this contract until this position is until the chief's position is filled. So we have talked about it a lot during the work session, and this is the contract that we worked out with Chief Lucking. He signed it and is unagreeable until we get that position filled. So any comments before we call for the motion? I need a motion for.
I'll move to approve the chief's extension on his contract.
I'll second.
Question, please.
Shirley?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Briette?
Yes.
Ellen?
Yes.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Moving forward to new business, the Alaska Public Entity Insurance. We did discuss that this afternoon. Paul, you want to touch on what has been in our system before July of, I believe it was 2011, that the decision was made to discontinue the insurance on the harbor?
We, every July, we insure, and we go through an insurance review, and we insure certain things in the city. We certainly have a workers' compensation policy, which is required. We have a large liability insurance, which is required, and is a no-brainer. We also have property damage. Some buildings we insure, some buildings we don't. For instance, if this city hall burnt to the ground, the insurance company would estimate this building is worth $20 million to replace, just because of the sheer size of it. We are not insuring this building for $20 million. It would be a huge amount of money. And if this building was lost, we wouldn't build something this large for a city hall. We would come up with some. So we negotiated a contract, a cost of what this, I think, if memory serves, we're insuring this building for $7.5 million is the number that comes to mind. So if we lost this building, our insurance company would say, well, you have $7.5 million to replace. What will $7.5 million put up? Something this size of 20, for instance. It would not put up something this massive. The reason I bring that up is we chose not to insure certain things for damage. One of the things we chose not to insure was our boat harbor. This is, since I've been here in 15 years, it's the first time we've ever had significant damage like this to the floats. And luckily, it was a Trident seafood boat, and Trident just admitted to the captain right up front. It was witnessed. I don't know, Moon, if you saw it, but we certainly down there soon thereafter, and they admitted that the damage was caused by them. We are already in the process, trying to send a surveyor up, and his name is, I can't. What's his name?
Jack McFarland.
Jack McFarland, who's well-known, well-respected. Jack has put together a report of what it's going to cost to put this float back together. And Trident will, and we've talked to our attorney about it, will assume the cost of putting it back to our satisfaction. And if they do that, end of story, we're happy. The issue with insurance is, should we be insuring our floats? And I think we discussed it at the work session. My recommendation is that we talk about this come May when our insurance renewal comes up. And again, it's risk-reward. How much risk are you willing to, risk management, if you're risk-reward at the golf term, risk management, how much risk are you willing to assume to save you some money? We can insure everything under the sun, and we'd go to bed at night because everything's insured, but we would not be able to afford it. We have chosen not to insure a small boat harbor. The cost in the package, you can see our insurance adjust for our insurance guy. Dave Kester said a $10 million policy would cost us $10,000 annually. What he does not say is, in addition to that, it would be a huge deductible. So not only do you pay $10,000 out of your pocket for the insurance, but the first, we've debated this, I think on a $10 million project, the first $50,000 would be out of the city's own pocket. So any minor damage, your insurance is not going to cover. It's like on your car. There's a deductible. So you bend the fender, you're not going to go to your insurance company because your deductible, you know, they won't pay it. Same thing with this. So long story short, I think we should review. It will certainly come up. My recommendation is we've lived this way for 15 years. I'm taking the risk that it's not going to happen over the next few, major events not going to happen over the next few months. When we renew our insurance, we get a quote for what is it going to cost us to insure our floats for damage. We're insured for liability on this stuff. If somebody breaks their leg out there and there's a liability issue, we are fully covered. We are not insured for damage, which is this is certainly damage. If there would have been somebody hurt out there at the dock, we would have been insured with liability. But luckily, no one was hurt. So my recommendation is we bring this topic back up in May, when our insurance we renew all our insurances at that time. We ask Dave Kester to provide us with a cost, what the deductible will be, and then we simply make the financial decisions. That's do we want to accept the risk or do we want to insure that risk?
Brett?
I have a question right now. If somebody, aside from Trident, who I'm sure has good insurance, if it was an individual boat owner, if they did severe damage to our docks, would their insurance cover it, or does that fall on our responsibility as of right now?
I think that's a good question to ask, because we did talk about it at the workshop. It is the responsibility of the owners if they do damage to our facility. They're just like Trident's.
The reason I have the insurance, though, is you can't be assured.
And the other options we talked in our workshop today is that they did have a policy. This is before I came aboard. It was July of 2011 that I talked to Mr. Kester, and he said that they opted out of the insurance program in July. July was the last time they had been insured in the harbor. So, and they were insured for $5 million at any accident that may occur that the city could. And it was a $25,000 deductible, so it's doubled with the $10 million.
The reason to have insurance is that very reason. If that would not have been a Trident boat, say that would have been a local, let's blame Seattle. That would have been a Seattle boat, and they had no insurance. Now, it's hard to see you wouldn't have insurance. But if they had no insurance, we would have insurance to fix it. Of course, there would be a lawsuit, and attorneys would get involved and all that. But what our insurance protects is if that person doesn't have insurance, our insurance will fix it.
And I think Danny had a good point this afternoon. We talked about what it costs to insure small boats. I mean, $5,200 for a $5 million package with a $25,000 deductible. If your demob and mob costs are $750,000 to repair something, you're way ahead.
It's expensive.
So I would encourage the council and you also to think about reinstituting a policy as something that could save the city. We talked about catastrophic, but that's probably a FEMA. That would probably pertain to FEMA, but anything that pertains to operating within the city, I think is probably something we should do.
And I will do the council bidding, of course. If you direct me to go out and get insurance Monday for X number of dollars or bring back us, we could certainly do that, and I'm sure the insurance company will love to put us on their, on their insurance and send us a bill. My recommendation is, again, you're taking the chance.
Right.
You're taking the risk that nothing's going to happen.
And with the new harbor coming in to be...
The new harbor's a different story. I think we should aggressively ensure that.
So it's something for the council to be thinking about. Any comments? Sure.
So when this comes up for review, we're going to be just starting to have somebody rebuild that harbor. Are we going to be making that decision in July? This year, if it's in under construction,
right? We could have it start whenever we want. We could say we want to ensure the small boat harbor is getting refurbished. We can say it's out of commission for 6 months from July, so we don't want to insure, but we want the insurance to kick in January 1. The insurance company will insure whatever date we pick. But you're right. Do we want to insure something there's no floats in the harbor? Why are we insuring anything?
And, of course, we have a new proposed budget coming up, too. So, that's another thing to be thinking about when that actually happens. So something we could be thinking about between now and July 1st.
But it will definitely be a discussion item if we don't do anything between now and then. It will definitely. We start doing the insurance renewal end of April. So we're only, we're 60 days away from starting our insurance renewal, because it kicks in July 1. There's lots of paperwork that goes in front of the renewal.
Council comments? Jeff?
I have one, because I saw a large boat probably working on its transmission here within the last couple months, going in forward and reverse at fairly high RPM, really working on some of our docks. And I think we ought to have some sort of a policy maybe to where if you're going to do that, you do that outside of the harbor or something.
They usually go out to the city dock and tow on piling our cleats out there.
I was going to come running up there, but then I figured, you know, by the time I got up there, moving as fast as I do, they'd be out there.
So they're pretty stress on the back.
Yeah, I mean, some of those boats can pull harder than those little 8x8s is all it's holding all that together. I mean, it looks good at those pins, but it's really only an 8x8 piece of wood holding it all together.
Okay, any other comments? Okay, the library, Denise? A comment on the library?
No, I don't have any comments, just that these are the periodicals that Marta Varga asked for the city to pay for, and they were changed from some to others, but you see them listed there, so okay. This for the council to decide, you know, that's
to
yes or no.
Council have any comments?
Any comments on it?
Paul, you have anything?
No, I think it's just the library's asking $200 for the periodicals to me. Looks like she's replacing certain periodicals for about the same amount, so to me it's a. But she's asking the council to vote on it. I don't know why, to tell you the truth, I don't know why this is even in the budget. This is something that could be done administratively.
Right.
I don't know when Marta comes to the council, she could say.
No, she sent me the email, so I just since it was a money thing. Yeah, I think
$200 is a pretty.
And I think we have a policy under, but it's also nice to have council direction. Maybe council have a comment to make on it. Yeah.
Take care.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, the four-way stop. I'm glad Dave's here. We did get a couple of vehicles go off our little side of the road up there. We had one, the school van, bus van with some kids in it. So when the second one went off, it's a little concern. Some red flags went up. So I thought maybe we could go back and revisit that. We did, when they put that road system in, we did ask the design engineer, the project engineer, if there was any room in their budget to put rails in. And he said not at that time. He checked it out for us. I think I got with Dave and I got with Paul on it, and he said that there wasn't anything that pertained to railing the road. So I'm just kind of curious. We discussed it at the workshop today, and the only way we could actually address this issue is if we do have an engineering study done on it to be sure that we fit the state and national standards for road system. That way it would keep the liability out of the city's hands. At least we'd be doing it correctly. So in the workshop this afternoon, I think that's probably what they decided, is that we should research that. Maybe we can get with Brian, the guy who actually designed the road, work with R&M?
The designer was HDR.
HDR, and work with the state. So maybe we'll do it with Brian and see what we can do. And maybe we can come up with a solution. And I think somebody brought up about adding fill to ease the slopes on the side, so you'll have a less chance of rolling your vehicle over, being easy exit off that road if you ever slip off.
Be less erosion too.
Pardon?
Be less erosion.
Yeah, and those are some.
Because we put guardrails up there, we'll have no place to put our snow. Okay. That road's already 22 feet wide. It's about 4 feet too narrow what it should be. And it'll make it even worse. Because with the guardrails, we can't get rid of the snow.
Just because I drive a big vehicle daily in that area, I think with people having more of a gradual slope, even though it doesn't give you more driving road space, but it just gives you more of a peace of mind as you're going, and so you feel a little bit more of a safety level having that buffer in there. I mean, when me and the other bus pass, you know, around that corner, you still kind of like hold your breath a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point. I did call the school. I called Jim Brown at the school and told him maybe he can direct his vehicles, if it's slippery and snowy, to come around the other side, make a right at the school instead of coming left, you know, just for safety purposes. Huh?
So you also need to drive the speeds of the conditions of roads. What the problem is, coming over that hill at 25 miles an hour and realizing it's slippery and no place to go but to go over the bank. That's what the last two were, was roads were slippery. The first truck had really wide tires on his street tires and a hydroplane. The second one, I don't know how he did it, but it was slushy conditions also. It's not actually being slippery. It's been slushy both times. And that's due to hydroplane going too fast for the conditions of the road.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here, Dave. Thanks. Helped out a lot. Any other comments? Good. The water service shut-ups. I'm glad you're here, too, Dave. That's another good one. Oh, I'm sorry, Edie?
Since you're talking about this and you're talking about researching it,
mm-hmm.
if you could take into your and I know everything costs money and there is no money, but also that stretch from Casey Gunderson's to
yes.
the QTT building, that's a steep. If somebody goes off there, I mean, they're going to roll.
You're right. Thank you. That was brought up at the workshop also. I brought that point up and I told him that looks, instead of a 4-to-1, that looks like about a 2-to-1. It's just, it's like a bluff right there. So, you know, once we get with Brian, maybe we can research that and see what we can do, because we have a lot of fill up on the school parking lot, off that parking lot. We could maybe do something with that. Let's just research it.
And yeah, the guardrail, that distance, you're talking $200,000-$300,000 minimum. I mean, guardrail's not cheap.
So we'll...
If I might, sure. That at least the guardrails between the clinic and the four-way stop was discussed. It was a huge issue during the design. We actually looked at making that four-way, straightening that road up, getting away from that sharp little curve right there, and actually making it a straight shot from the top of the hill by the clinic straight onto the next road. We looked at that seriously. Because that would have taken all that out of play. Mm-hmm. The reason we got away from that was on private property. We would have had to buy a couple of lots and other things. And I believe it came up in front of the city council. They said, no, we're going to keep the road where it was. Then the issue was, okay, guardrails. What about guardrails along that particular spot? Now, that other spot you've talked about further down past the center, the teen center, there, or the community center, I've been told that all these steep embankments have been graded per federal highway standards. And when I say graded, the slope for federal highway standards for safety and for the road speed. For them to put guardrails on the places we're talking about, that's very steep by between the clinic and the four-way stop, they would have had to widen that road out almost double, just because it would take that much more space just to put guardrails down that road. Because you can't put guardrails, you know, just on the side. It's got to be. And the cost was, like Dave said, to put that much more gravel down. And we would have had to fill in a lot of that swampy area and maybe come onto private property again. So they were engineered for the federal highway standard, because it's a federal highway standard road, because we got federal highway money for it. It all passed muster with federal highway standards. So those slopes are supposedly engineered, and I haven't driven off it, and as soon as I do, I'm going to have something to say. But those slopes, the grades have been engineered for safety, and that's why guardrails were not put up. Having said that, if we want to look at guardrails, and I will contact HDR. They were the ones who designed it, and I will have them write us a letter as to why guardrails weren't put in there. That's a good start.
Something else that might help, especially when you get blinding snow flying or fog, which we've had quite a bit lately, is those little sticks that reflect. So when you're driving, you can see where the edge of the road is.
Yeah,
so it's not a guardrail, but it's something that will reflect your headlights.
That's what I was just thinking, too.
That's not a bad idea. I don't know. If
okay.
Any other comments? Shirley?
Why didn't they put lines between the edges?
We purposely took painting the pavement, the striping the road, they call it. They took that out because it was their estimate. Striping the road lasts for about 18 months. And it goes away, and you have to restripe again and again. So they said, you know, they took striping out to save money. That was an issue I talked about, why we didn't stripe at least the edges of the road.
When it's dark and wet, it's really hard to see where the edge of the roads are.
In that grant that pertained to that school loop road project, there was money left. I know we remember there was
$350,000.
So can that be revisited, or is that already?
No, we can revisit. In fact, we just got, like I said at the start of the meeting, we just got that $91,000 in DOT, and I talked to the DOT.
I think that would be a good revisit.
I can go back to, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but and say, guardrails and striping our road, we would like to see you guys revisit that.
Well, guardrails, we talked about that. Dave was here. We talked about that with Brian as far as the guardrails went. And we researched that. If you remember, we researched that.
Painting the road?
Yeah. Painting the road, striping the road, I think is probably a great thing. And Edie talked about reflectors. I think that's a very good point. If there's reflectors that will withstand grading, Dave grades, so he knows the snow is going to be a factor. Dave?
Well, they've got a new thing out. They're doing a study on it right now. Is they have lighted lines. It's a little concaved in the asphalt now that during the day in the sunlight, it stores the energy, and at nighttime, it actually lights up a line. But it's in the first stages. They're doing it back east.
Well, we're 50 years from
it. Yeah, it has 10 hours of daylight, basically lit.
That would be nice. That's a really good thought.
Elliot, the markers work in fog and snowstorms, even strong snowstorms. That's what you drive by, is the markers, where striped lines are covered in white snow and black ice. You can't see them. So that the markers on the side of the road might be just enough to help.
Yeah, because if we can't do turtles, dude, we run steel blades on our graders. We clean them off.
And the painted line, that's something you can revisit, because if it lasts for 18 months, you know, another 18 months down the road,
what's
may
a turtle?
Have
the little...
They're like the little reflective lights. They're reflectors.
So what are we talking about? The reflectors along the...
The
posts?
Yeah, marker posts. Yeah.
Oh, that's easy. I mean, that's an easy one. I thought you were talking about the things you insert in the pavement.
No.
No.
Dick?
Thank you. Your assurance of federal safety design doesn't, I think, give too many confidences around here when they just chose ducks over people's lives in King Cove Bay. So.
I realize I did. The issue is that was built with federal dollars and if there's nothing wrong with it.
But to continue what I was going to say, I mean, just to throw out that federal standards don't mean much. But if you haven't approved the dump road yet, when the town gave the city $1 million for the school loop road, there was a lot of restrictions for that money lifted, and the city was able to use it for different things and what have you. So you're sitting on $1.4 million for the dump road, and if you guys get off your dump and approve that road up there and maybe include some of the requirements such as guardrails up there in different places, you may be able to, if the tribe would transfer the money to the city again, use it for different things such as guardrails and different improvements on the road that you've already used federal monies for from the tribe. It's just, you know, we've been sitting on this dump road for forever, and
just for your information, we have had one meeting with Tiffany and the representatives from BIA. That process is in progress right now as we speak. It's just a matter of orchestrating the right meetings and the right criteria that we need to make this gel, and that's where we're at right now. And Paul and I haven't really been in the loop with that so far, but we've had meetings. She's working on it. We're waiting for the resolve for that. There's issues with that road project up there. We know that it was signed off, and we're going to address those issues, and she's working with that program, and I believe Tiffany's working with that program for us.
I realize what's going on with the tribe and the federal money, but what I'm saying is if you approach it the same way you approached it last time, and the money was transferred to the city, there's some restriction that got lifted, and you guys could have used those monies for different things. And if you did the same thing and approached it the same way, you may be able to use some of those money.
Right, and that's one of the
that's
one of the issues that we're working on. Even though the road that goes down to the harbor, so that's what she's talking about, and we've met several times just concerning that.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Any other comments? Water shutoffs. That's where we were, right? We need a break. No, just water shutoffs. I'm glad you're here, Dave, because this has been brought to our attention before, and I know you've come to me several times and have questioned me, who do I shut off? People come out and confront you when you're there. They've come to me also, but we want to just, for the record, that this is council's decision. It's in our ordinances. It's in our water billing, and Paul, as he pointed out in the workshop today, that he had it specific in here under our ordinances, and it is in our billing cycle that goes out that we're allowed. You're allowed 10 days? 10 days, Paul, you?
On your bill that everyone receives in the mail, your water and sewer bill, it mimics what is written in our ordinance. And the key number is number 2 in our ordinance, which is on your bill. It says, any bill that is not paid by or before that date, meaning the date that's on the bill, a second bill will be mailed containing a cutoff notice that if the bill is not paid within 10 days of the mailing of the second bill, service will be discontinued for non-payment. It's pretty black and white. There's no, you get a bill and you don't pay it. Well, in some cases you get 3 or 4 years worth of bills and you don't pay it. What the city has to then do is send a second bill saying you owe us this amount of money and you have 10 days to pay. And the ordinance says it's pretty cut and dried. Service will be discontinued. It's not may be discontinued. It will be discontinued.
Okay. Dave?
Well, our office has gone as far as taking the steps of taping letters to people's doors. And they're still not paying their bills. Can I turn them off?
That's what the ordinance calls for.
Yes, Dave, I don't think that's your decision. Yes, I think your decision is to be given a list of
and you have
off. Here, Dave, go shut these people off.
And those that have come in and worked a program out with the city, their water has not been shut off. If those have been shut off, they've come in and actually worked a program out with the city. That's perfectly fine. Those are acceptable solutions that we have for that program. But just for the record, just for the information, this is what I want, because I know you talk to me about that once in a while, and we talk about these issues, and just for council information, the council knows that this is council decision, this is in our ordinance, so this is something that we need to follow, because we're talking about water and sewer rate bill. We need to increase them because we're subsidizing water and sewer, and this is some of the reasons that we're doing that as part of our problem. We need a solution to a problem. We'll just have to work it out, but I'm glad that it brought out at least
some of the people. I can go turn people off tomorrow.
And I've said that. I said it's in the ordinance and it's council decision. And council has approved that, but we need to stop in my office. We need to stop in the office and find out the list that Curtis has. Curtis is in charge of that list. He'll give you a list for the shut off. And he has, and have they not? I mean, you've shut some people off, but you turn them back on, right?
Yeah.
Because
that was supposed to be turned off.
They come in and address their
haven't paid their bill yet.
Okay. All right, well, we'll have a list. Check with Curtis. He has the list.
More morning.
Okay. Any other comments? Hearing none. Moving forward. Letter of support for Sam Cotton. Paul?
I'm confused how to spell Cotton. I think it's C-O-T-T-E-N.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Sam has been on the fisheries board, I think at least one term, maybe two, and he's up for a reappointment, or his position is the governor has the right to recommend to the federal head of it, NOAA, I think that's who I will tell him appoints it. Sam came to me the other day and said, I sure could use a letter of support from all the cities. I think the fishermen in town know Sam. He works for the borough. He's on the borough's fishery board. He's the former state elected official. As the letter says, he was in the legislature for 16 years. He was a speaker of the House in the state legislature. He's a commercial fisherman out of Homer. This letter is more informational. Unless there's a disagreement amongst the council, Martin is going to, the mayor's going to sign a letter supporting Sam to the governor, asking that Sam be reappointed to the National Pacific Fisheries and Marine Council, the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council.
Any comments? Any public comments on that? Okay, very good. Thank you. And, of course, we have the AmeriCorps donation request. Denise, you want to address that one? That was for a board haul, right?
That's for the board haul. You want me to?
Yeah, I know, and I think since it is for the boat haulout, it could be, you know, it could be a large boat. So I think it's, you know, I think it would be a council motion to approve that. I think it would be a good sense.
How large?
Pardon?
How large?
It could be, you know, it could be a 65 footer in there, you know, if they win.
What can
or it could be a
our boat lift handle.
Yeah, well. Or I could win it and not want to haul it and make it sell to somebody else.
I'll make the motion to donate a boat haul out to the AmeriCorps.
For a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion, a second. Any discussion on it? There are none. Questions? Oh, Mooney?
Mr. Mayor, I think before on the haul outs, donated haul outs, they were for 58 and under.
58
and under. That's the majority of the ones I've ever seen were just thought I'd throw it in there.
And amend my motion more specific?
Yeah, you want to.
Yeah, I can amend it. Make my motion to for boats under 58 feet.
Oh, 58 feet and under.
58 feet and under.
Okay. Council, yes. All right, we got a motion and amendment to the motion. Call for a question.
Danny?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
Rayette?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Marika?
Yes.
Thank you. The other one is the QTT Annual Earth Day Fair donation request. And I didn't really know, have in mind or have an indication of how much. At the workshop, we came up with some information from the council. We have, Denise, you want to tell us what we came up with?
We came up with the 10 sweatshirts that we have in storage to donate to them for their birthday fair.
And I think that's probably, I don't know if you have to
make a motion to donate 10 cent points for church to QTT track for their Earth Day fair.
I'll second.
Okay, question please.
Marita?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
I was raising my hand, just to let you know, we know the last few years we've done $250.
Oh, well, that's close, because we're figuring out the cost of the sweaters versus, and we're right around the same price then. Okay, and just to welcome Jade back, she's coming back part-time with the new addition. She's coming and working part-time with Denise. She'll be doing that for
part-time this week and full-time next week.
Part-time this week and full-time next week, so welcome back. Public comments. Edie.
I have a problem comparing us to Anchorage. You know, granted, you may not pay as much in sewer and water, but we pay a heck of a lot more in heating and electricity.
Food.
And in food. You know, our living expenses are way higher. So, compare our utilities to King Cove or sewer and water to Anchorage. you know, it's not fair. They're apples and oranges. And living here, I mean, I just paid for my fuel bill today. It hurt. They don't pay that in Anchorage.
We don't pay property tax here either.
Dick. Dick.
Thank you, Director. I have a couple of comments. Water and sewer, and just listening to Paul, apologize for using you for an example, Paul, but I mean, since you're the administrator, I just have to target you for a little while. But all of the different rates and the taxes and everything else that we're talking about for raising at Sandpoint, I mean, there's different things that we can do. If you take a look at that water and sewer billing up there, I bet you it wouldn't take too big of a generator to run. Costs a lot of money to run a generator, so I'm not suggesting that at all. But if you took gates and put them in the culverts on that bridge and controlled and regulated the level of water, and if you put a little turbine down where the waterfall is, where it used to be for the cannery a long time ago, there was a turbine there. If you put a little turbine down there and hooked it up to the grid and hooked it up to that water and sewer building, you'd run the whole bloody building with a little tiny turbine. It wouldn't cost us a bloody nickel outside of building. So there are different things that we could do. I mean, just to get blood out of a turnip here from a fisherman, because sales tax and everything reverse back to the fishing fleet. And I mean, you go down and talk to all of the guys. Talk to Danny. Danny's the pot fish cod this year for 28 cents to 20 cents. I mean, after all the expenses they're taking out, what's the crew looking at? Nothing. And, you know, you can go on and on. And cod, by the looks of the world market, is not going to get any better. So, I mean, let's look for some alternatives to not look for just cash out of the fishermen or the fleet or the public or whatever. Let's look for some alternatives.
Well, you know, Dick, since you're talking about the turbine, I'd like to respond to that. If you were at our workshop today, the council, and we talked about that, we talked about alternative sources. That's one thing that the council really, really worked over during the workshop, is how can we cut expenses as far as what's costing the city of Sandpoint and the residents of the city of Sandpoint. Wind turbine was one of them. Wind generator was another one. Your wind generator was brought up for the one at the QTT building, and that's a great focus point. Could you tell us why that doesn't work?
Well, just to go a little bit further, the drop from the bridge to the waterfall wouldn't be enough to put a dent in Sandpoint.
Yeah, no, we talked about that. Yeah, we talked about dropping it down to the waterfall.
But it would run that bloody power iron water place.
Yes, no, you're absolutely
right.
And
hooked up to the grid anyway. So, you know, when you get ice up there, you're going to have problems that wouldn't run. But, heck, I'm betting about the 10 or 20 kW would run that whole water plant up there. That windmill up there, I don't know why it doesn't work, but the person who programmed it didn't know what they were doing, and it never, ever really produced the amount of energy that it was supposed to. Mm-hmm. And I think right now the only thing that's wrong with it is the main bearing that runs at the top. I mean, it doesn't spin up to the way it's supposed to. So I think that's the only thing wrong with it. But it would have to be reset, recalculated in the electronic part of it. Yeah. Nobody here knows how to do
and
that.
Those kind of were good questions at the workshop. They talked about the one you have up there, and there's other people in town that have businesses that talk there. They were asking, questioning about how yours work and how does the city have anything. You're right, the alternative source is the way to go. We really need to research that. But we did talk heavily about that at the workshop, and I kind of like what you said about moving that so you get the head pressure for that turbine at the bottom of the waterfall that was brought up.
Administrative contract, kind of surprised me how Ray had mentioned discussion on your motion, like before your motion.
I know, we discussed that, and I was going to apologize to her for not having discussion first, but we discussed that at the workshop today, and it was just an oversight. We went back to it, and she was allowed to comment on it.
Paul and I have been friends for a long time, and we worked together for a lot of different projects and everything, so I don't have any objections to Paul getting a contract or anything like that, but with all I hear in the last two meetings is raising of taxes and no alternatives. There are alternatives out there, and I think we've got to look for every single bloody one we can find. I mean, we have to get outside of the box. One other thing I wanted to comment on, the crane in the Bold Harbor. Excellent idea. Thank you guys for doing that. It's not something that I can use. I can't even float up there. But it was put in for a main reason, for the smaller boats to be able to lift their gear and whatnot off there. I think you should do a little bit of work on maybe not requiring a city employee to run it. There's been a crane in King Cove for a lot of years, and you can pull up that crane and use it just about any time you want. I think there should be a fee for that. I don't think you should allow it to happen just haphazardly so somebody could go over there and punch a deal and turn it on and use it. I think whoever punches the deal and turns it on should be responsible for what they're doing if there's any damage to it. But I don't think you should need a city employee to lift a net up into a truck or something like that. So I think you'd get a whole lot more use. And depending on what the charge is, you could probably lower that charge and get more money off of that crane than the way it's being used, because I haven't seen it used very many times at all.
Right, I'd like to respond to that also, because that was that in the meeting we brought up, that we're going to get a keyed box for that, and a person could go up, get the key, run it himself, take it back to the Harbor Master, check it, and that's a great idea. We just haven't.
I have a crane car to run, a 10,000-pound crane at Homer. Use any of the cranes on that dock, and I agree with you, Dick. I mean, I had to take a class, which was a video, and I filled out some paperwork, and I ran the crane with the Harbor Master.
Over the last couple of months, we've been compared to King Cove an awful lot, and there's nobody got crane cards in King Cove to run that crane.
Well, they use a crane card too. That's how they bill you. You get a card, but right. It's magnetic, yeah. And it's billed to you. So anytime you use it.
That's just future technology that he's talking about. That's, 2013 future technology is a thing that they have, and I think if we could implement that in our program, it's a good thing.
Another thing that I'd like to touch on is the, on the roll. the boats and the boat harbor and the insurance, $10,000 and $50,000 deductible is nothing for a city. I mean, it's absolutely nothing. And the waiver that we have to sign in the boat harbor, I mean, I'd gladly go up and sign that waiver. But that waiver ain't worth the paper thrown out. But you can go up there, you can figure out any little thing. And once you get some little thing, like all the 58-foot boats have got a big long rake in the bow, except for the ones with bulbs on them. But that big long rake in the bow, you lost two boats out of those straps already. I had one right clean up to the top and drop down and put breakers up on the side of my boat down there. I wasn't here to see it, but old Andrew Foster, I don't think, went into that travel life after it happened, and it about jumped off the dock. There's a lot of different things that can happen, like tying a piece of rope between the things. It's simple little things that the boat harbor do because they know what makes things safe. But those simple little things don't necessarily meet the specs of insurance. So, I mean, that piece of paper is not worth the piece of paper that you write it on. So get some insurance. If I drop my boat and the house gets knocked off or the whale back gets knocked off on the way down, I want somebody to fix it. And, nobody's going to intentionally go out and hurt the city and sue them, but for heaven's sakes, if you lose your livelihood and it's going to cost you an extra quite a few dollars, I mean, hell, my deductible alone on my boat is $20,000. So 50 for a city, I don't think it's a drop in the bucket. One other thing, and then I'll shut up. Your props there thing that you have on your agenda, they got billing places all over the goddamn U.S., and the one that I was dealing with was in Texas, and I only had 6 bottles, and I fought with them for 3 years, never used a bloody drop of gas out of those bottles, and didn't really even have the bottles because I inherited them out of Harry's. I mean, I had a couple of them, but not all of them. And I wound up paying $1,500 for 6 bottles.
Wow.
And then they said, after they sold them to me and took my $1,500, then they sent me another bill and said, well, we couldn't sell them to because they had our name on them. And I mean, they're frustrating as heck, but what I see you're going through here is the exact same thing I went through. And we wound up having an arbitrator sit down and come up with $1,500 for for 6 bottles.
That's an issue that we've been talking about since Dave got here. We've been back trying to trace out and find out just exactly where the bottles are and how many bottles there is. So we're kind of in...
Alan might have some. Yeah, we're in that because he's got a bunch of bottles.
We're kind of in that spot right now, too. We don't know exactly, you know.
Right.
They don't know exactly.
Yeah, we've asked for the serial numbers of those bottles, and they can't produce the serial numbers, so they can't prove that we honestly have those bottles.
Thank you. You have any? Anybody have any comments for Nick? Thanks, Nick. No, I appreciate it. Mooney?
Yes, I'd like to make a comment on Dick was talking about the rates of the boats and stuff, Nick. I think when the first boat dropped, there was a structure failure on the travel lift. And then when the second one dropped, I was working down there at the time when the second one dropped. It was the cable parted. There was a kink put in the cable a week before that, and then they just kept on using it. And then we got a heavier vessel in there. It sure broke on the kink.
Yeah, but I think Clarence, he was almost killed once there too. When the strap fell and the block came and just missed his head there one time years ago.
That's when they started using straps.
Yeah, using those other straps to tie them in. But yeah, that was probably before you were even there.
No, I was there.
Okay. Any other comments, Mooney?
Yes. Sort of confused here about the water sewer thing. Combined water and sewer and minimum charge. It's saying the monthly minimum charge should be $32.40 or however. Or going from $32 to $40. And then if you leave for, say when I go on vacation for 3 months, I'm still getting charged at $32 to $40 per month during the, when I'm gone.
That's the vacation rate.
That's the vacation rate. So
it used to be $25, and then it went up to $32.
Oh, okay. So whether I'm on vacation or whether I'm home, the rate is still the same.
No, that's
That's what's
because it's 84 right now. So if you went on vacation, it's 32. Is that right, Jade?
I don't do the billing.
Okay. Well, it's
it would have been 32.
32.40 and it's like 32.40.
I think it was like 32 because I put mine down for a couple months while I was gone this year. The regular 84, I think it was 30 or 32. Mm-hmm.
32, and that's what it says in parentheses.
Yeah, I think so, because the guys that came up that left this fall came in and put their trailers and stuff on the vacation rate, and I believe it was $32. They'll go from 84 to 32.
I'd like to Jack one, I still think Dave, all day he's a good bargain for our city. I know he's done a lot of stuff in town for us and everything, but I think where we are is inflation is going up, and we are a fishing town, and the fishing prices haven't gone up. So everybody everything else has gone up, and we're not getting the shoot. When I started fishing 35 years ago, we were getting a better price than we are now. I'm going to go fishing in Southeast this summer just because the prices here are just poor. Boy, there's no competition. Between Trident and Peter Pan, they just like keep the prices down low. It just hurts all these communities. It's really bad to see that. But I think, the cost of living everywhere else has gone up, but everybody getting the cost of living, but we're sure not here, and that's where all these little cities here, they get all their tax money from fishing, and our fishing hasn't gone up. And it's going to get worse if there's rationalization. It's going to get bad. It's can even be worse, but But anyway, that's where I went. And that's where I think the mayor, the city councils, and the borough should get involved. And I still think, Dick, you know, you're in the Alley Corporation. I think the Alley Corporation needs to get involved, because most of these people that are affected are Native people. We're getting affected. And it's all on this western part of Alaska. You go to Kodiak, see what their price. You go to Southeast and see where there's competition. The prices are almost double. It is. But it's, you know, we keep trying to get different things, but we're, you know, we're, I don't know. It's just bad on these prices. It's like an antitrust thing is what I think it is.
I'm glad you bring that up, Chuck. We did talk about that at the
work. And I know I'll be threatened again, like I do from Trident. I get threatened, and it happens. Yeah, I get, you know, you get a lot of backs, you know, stuff from it. And I'll get consequences of even saying this, but yeah, that's the way it goes.
Well, I just want to at least tell you that we talked about this during the workshop. We brought up figures that would pertain to the city of Sandpoint, would pertain to the economic impact that it has on the community from those who even get a lesser price, and even 30 cents a pound, 40 cents a pound, how much of a difference it makes. We talked about what we do is we have to subsidize water and sewer. We don't have anything in our budget for it.
Right.
Water and sewer is subsidized anyway, because it's just the way it is because of the services.
Sure.
But everything else that we have would be a positive cash flow for the city of Sandpoint, but because of those issues, it just isn't. And you're absolutely right, it is harder to conduct business here. We have a person sitting right here that I have a chance to sit down and have a cup of coffee with and have breakfast every morning or lunch or whatever.
Sure.
And she can pretty much tell us a lot of what's going on here, too.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, like I left here in 2001, you know, we were on strike and for 50 cents a pound, and so I went to Southeast and it was $1 a pound. Shoot, and then, you know, I like living in Sandpoint. I was born here. I wasn't raised here, but I like it here. Honey likes it here. But boy, you know, we gotta go somewhere else where, you know, you got some other chances of doing stuff, you know. So anyway, thought I'd bring that up.
Thank you. Peggy?
Yes, when you guys make your trip to Juneau, I would ask that one of the things that you do talk to them about down there is the ferry system that comes out here, that it does, it's a positive thing for this region. A lot of people use it to move vehicles, gear up for the summertime, because it's more economical than shipping on the shipping companies. So if you would please, when you go down there, talk to them and make a pitch for the ferry system out here.
Okay, yes.
We're going to meet with, yes. There's a new DOT commissioner, yes, that we have not met. We are meeting with DOT. I will definitely mention, you know, ferries are critical out here.
And that's one of the top priorities. I've been looking at the Swansea schedule, and I know the Lieutenant Governor will be there, and I know Senator Murkowski will be there. So those are some issues I'm sure that Swansea will be addressing, and we'll definitely
follow up. One last comment. I know that a lot of us don't get the opportunity to attend the workshop during the daytime. So when you do bring up agenda items, if you can just give us a summary as to part of the discussion that took place during the workshop, because when you bring up the item and then you just vote on it, there's no background as to what took place during the workshop and discussion or that. And if you could share it with us, that would be great.
Okay. Thank you. Any other public? Denise?
I don't know. I was just kind of wondering what the city could maybe help or do for the small businesses with the electric company. I know you guys are going through something right now. My electricity bill is like 85 cents for the last how many months? It jumped in, what, October? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden this month, it's down 30 cents a kilowatt. I can't figure out what's going on with their accounting. I can't figure out, you know, I can't budget. I can't even survive on if it goes back up to 85 cents a kilowatt when I'm paying $3,300 a month in electricity.
Right.
I'm going to have to start charging $20 for a hamburger. And then I'm not going to have any business. So I was just kind of wondering what's going on with the city and what can we do as a community, because we're going to lose our taxes.
Can I?
Yes, Paul.
I appreciate, Denise, you stepped forward a couple of months ago. You were the first one that sent the city I think it was your September last month, last year, and your October bills, and you're and using Harbor Cafe as the example because you offered up your bills. You're saying in September, I think it was X, which was very high, what was normal. The following month, it was extreme, like three times the increase. And I looked at that, and I said, whoa, that is something's wrong there. That's when the city engaged our attorney, and they are taking on TDX about that very issue. We have asked, and I'm glad it's on the radio, we need a half a dozen or a dozen community members who are willing to bring their bills to Denise here at City Hall. And what we need is a bill, and I believe it was September of 2012 and October of 2012. That's when the bills spiked tremendously. If we could get a dozen people to bring those two bills in, we'll redact, we'll strike out your name and your account number. We don't care what your, you know, who it is. The issue is the bill went from terrible to very terrible. Our attorney will take that information saying, here are 8, 10, 12 examples of what TDX does to our billing style here. And it helps our case greatly. The city has taken on this TDX again forever, trying to get to the bottom of these bills. Now, I understand just this last month, the city received quite a credit. And I have no idea how TDX bills. I don't think they know how they bill. Some people, you see your bill has been constant for years. Now, that doesn't make sense to me why yours tripled in 1 month and his remained constant. I don't get that.
Well, my home bill was $27 last month, or for the last month bill, and then this month bill, it went up to $77.
Double.
I've never had a $27 bill all the years I've lived there. So I can't figure that one out.
Does Leafy read majors every month?
Yeah.
Or sometimes it is an estimate?
No, she reads every month.
Now, how does that work?
If there's a question on it, they go and double-check it. And it's not the...
But I'm asking folks who are listening or folks in the audience, if you would bring by an example of what you consider a normal bill and then where it really spiked, we'll strike out your name and your account number so it's not Harbor Cafe or it's not Martin Gunnarsson. But it's here's 10 examples of bills that went from bad to worse.
I have been having some trouble. This is Denise. Denise Godby here speaking. As far as I call people and they say, yeah they're going to do it, but they just don't bring the bills in for me. So we can't just go off a hearsay. We have to have it in our hands. So we all have a problem of the electric bills being too high, but if people could just bring them in to me, if we get, like you said, 12 to 15 of them, we'll hand them to the attorney, and then we'll have a case. But without them, we don't have a case. So we just need people to volunteer their bills right now.
Okay.
I'm having trouble with that part.
But we are taking them on, Denise. The city is paying our attorney to see if they can find out.
Because they're running a lot of businesses out of business.
I think that's important that you not only have the residential perspective, you have the business perspective. I think it's probably good balance for our attorney. Mm-hmm. It's a good balance for TDX, at least, so I'll look at it.
Can I say one happier note before the meeting ends? I just want to thank everybody for my time that I've had here for 3 months. I'd like to welcome Jade back. And I made some cherry cobbler for the mayor had a birthday this last week, and also to welcome Jade back. So
Dick did, too.
Dick did, too. Great. So if you'd like to stay after and visit, have some cherry cobbler in the back. Please do, and again, thank you for my time that I've served here for the 3 months. So I've enjoyed myself. Thank you.
Yes, and I'd like to follow up on that comment that she has been here for 3 months, and she has done a good job for the city of Sandpoint. She has filled my office, made my job easier, and she's been very informative and keeping me updated on a lot of things that have transpired with the city, and has been very, I think, well chosen. I wish I didn't have a part of that.
And I want to echo that. We asked Denise to keep the wheels on while Jade was gone. She's gone above and beyond. She's done an excellent job. And it's I think she has a much more of an appreciation of how much comes across that desk. It's not an easy job, and Denise did a really good job of keeping us afloat. And thank you.
Well, I'd like to also give credit to Jade for training me in well and filling me in, and I could always call Jade too. So I really appreciate that, Jade. Thank you.
Okay, any other public comments? It's your last chance. Council comments.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
To adjourn. Don't forget the cobbler back there, y'all. Water.